أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
After reciting the tashahhud, ta'awudh and Surah Al-Fatiha, as the Khalifatul Masih V, may Allah be his helper, stated, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah is being discussed. In this context, we also find mention of Budayl bin Warqa Khuza'i and other messengers of the Quraysh coming to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Detailing this, Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmed Sahib, may Allah be his helper, has stated the following. Upon reaching the Valley of Hudaybiyah, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, settled next to its water well. When the companions had set up camp, a renowned chieftain from the Khuza'a tribe named Budayl bin Warqa, who resided in a nearby region, came to meet the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, with some of his associates, and said, the people of Makkah are ready for war, and they shall never let you enter Makkah. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, responded, we have not come with the intention of war. Rather, we have only come to perform the Umrah. Alas, despite the fact that the fire of war has burnt them to dust, they still do not refrain from fighting. I am even prepared to settle a truce with them so that they may cease war against me and leave me free for the others. If, however, they reject this proposal of mine and insist on keeping the fire of war aflame, then I also swear by his name, in whose hand is my life, that I shall not retreat from this battle until I die in this cause, or God gives me victory. If I am faced with defeat in this battle, then so ends the story. But if God grants me victory, and the religion that I have brought is given dominance, then the people of Makkah should not hesitate in believing in me. Budayl bin Warqa was greatly moved by this sincere and earnest address. He requested the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, if you grant me some respite, I shall go to Makkah and convey your message so as to seek reconciliation. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, permitted him to do so, and Budayl set out to Makkah with a few of his associates. When Budayl bin Warqa reached Makkah, he gathered the Quraysh and said, I have come from that man, I, Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and he has presented to me a proposal. If you permit me, I shall present it to you. Upon this, the vehement and irresponsible people among the Quraysh began to say, we shall not listen to anything he has to say, i.e. we are not ready to listen to any word of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. However, the influential and trusted people among the Quraysh said, yes, inform us of the proposal. As such, Budail repeated the proposal of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Upon this, a man named Urwa bin Mas'ud, who was a very influential chieftain of the tribe of Thaqif and was present in Makkah at the time, stood up. In the ancient Arabian manner, he began to say, O ye people, am I not like a father unto you? They responded in the affirmative. He said, are the lot of you not as my sons? Again, they responded in the affirmative. Then Urwa said, do you doubt me in any way? The Quraysh responded, not at all. He said, then it is my view that this man, I, Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, has presented an excellent proposal. You should accept this proposal, and I request that you allow me to go to Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, in order to further discuss this proposal. The Quraysh said, certainly, go and discuss this proposal. Further details are as follows. Urwa presented himself before the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and began to say, I have left Ka'b bin Lu'ay and Amir bin Lu'ay at the well of Hudaybiyah, and with them are two she-camels. They have called the Ahabish and their associates. Ahabish were allies of the Quraysh, and had taken an oath at the foot of the Habshi mountain in Abyssinia. As such, they became known as the Ahabish. So they called their followers. He said, they are wearing cheetah skins, i.e. the disbelievers are wearing cheetah skins and are ready for war. They have taken an oath that they will not clear the path between you and the house of Allah unless you destroy them. That is, unless the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, destroys them. He continued, out of the two possible outcomes, in relation to you and the people you are going to fight, one thing is for certain. He then said to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, you are either going to destroy your own people, although it is unheard of until today, that a person destroyed his people and relatives, or the people that you are with are going to disgrace you. In other words, he tried to scare the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, in this manner as well, by saying that the people that you are with are cowardly. He made wrong speculations about the companions and said, by Allah, the countenances I see are only of those who flee. In another narration, it is stated that among these people are individuals whom I neither recognize nor know anything about their ancestors and morals. I believe that they will flee and leave you. In yet another tradition, it is recorded that I can see that if you were to fight the Quraysh, they would hand you over to them. In this manner, he tried to influence and scare the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. They will imprison you, and what will be more difficult than this? As Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, who was sitting behind the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, became enraged and said, go and show your devotion to your idol Lat. Do not say these things to us. Are we going to leave the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him? Urwa replied, who is this? The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, this is Abu Bakr. Upon this, Abu Bakr said, by Allah, if I was not beholden to you, I would certainly have replied to this. At some point, Hazrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, did Urwa a favor. In relation to this, it is recorded that Urwa sought assistance in paying blood money. He had killed someone and had to pay the blood money. He sought assistance, upon which someone gave two camels and another person gave three camels. However, Hazrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, assisted him with 10 camels. This was the favor of Hazrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, on Urwa. Then Urwa began speaking to the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And while he spoke, he would touch the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him's beard. Hazrat Mughira bin Shu'bah stood by the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, with a sword in hand and helmet on his head. When Urwa approached the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, to speak to him and stretched out his hand to touch his blessed beard, Hazrat Mughira moved him out of the way, using the point of his sword, saying, "Move your hands away from the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, before my sword reaches you, for it is not fit for any idolater to touch the beard of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him." Urwa raised his head up and asked, "Who is this?" The people told him it was Mughira bin Shu'bah. According to one narration, the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, himself explained that this is your nephew, Mughira bin Shu'bah. Urwa turned to him and said, "O disloyal one, didn't I already try to help fix your treachery once before? In the pre-Islamic era of ignorance," the details of what Urwa is referring to here are, in the pre-Islamic era, Mughira had gone somewhere with a group of people and ended up killing them and taking their belongings. He then later accepted Islam. So the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, "As far as your Islam is concerned, I will accept it of you. But as for your wealth, I have nothing to do with it." This is a narration mentioned in Bukhari. In any case, it seems Urwa must have helped Mughira in some way or another to sort this out when it happened. Then Urwa started to look at the companions of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, carefully. Whenever the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would spit, the companions would take it and rub it on their hands and chest. And whenever he commanded them to do something, they would do it immediately. Whenever the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would perform ablution, the companions would burst into competition to try and get it. They wouldn't allow a single hair of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, to fall, except that they would collect it and keep it. They would keep their voices low in front of the Holy Prophet and would look at the Holy Prophet with lowered eyes out of great humility and respect. When Urwa finished speaking to the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, he said the same thing to him as he had said to Budayl bin Warqa and continued to offer up proposals for peace. Then Urwa came to the Quraysh and began saying, "O my people, I have served as an ambassador to kings, the courts of Caesar, Khosrows, and Negus. By Allah, I have never seen a king who's obeyed as much as the obedience shown to Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, by his companions. Whereas he initially came intending to scare the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, regarding the disbelievers. When he witnessed these scenes, he was impacted by it and made this statement to the disbelievers. He said, 'By Allah, I have never seen a king whose companions honor him as much as Muhammad's companions honor him. By Allah, there is no king like him. When he spits, his companions touch it with their hands and rub it on their faces and bodies. And when he commands something, they hasten to fulfill his orders. When he performs ablution, they rush to catch his ablution water. And they do not allow even a single strand of his hair to fall to the ground. Instead, they preserve it. In his presence, his companions speak in soft voices. And out of respect, they do not lift their gaze to look directly at him. Nor does anyone speak without his permission. When he, i.e. the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, permits, then the companions speak. If he doesn't grant permission, they all remain silent." He further said, "He has presented you with a good proposal," meaning the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, has offered you something beneficial. "Thus, you should accept it." He continued, "Truly, I have cautioned my nation, and you must understand well that if you intend to raise a sword against him, he will also unsheathe his sword against you. If you stop the leader, meaning if you stop the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, I have seen that these people will not care about what happens to them. By Allah, I have even seen women among them who will not hand him over to us. O my people, change your opinion. Go to him and accept what he has proposed to you. That is, accept the peace treaty he has proposed, or the proposal for Umrah. He added, I am your well-wisher, but I also fear that you will not receive any help against the man who has come to visit the house of Allah. He has sacrificial animals with him, which they will slaughter and then return back. In response, the Quraysh said, O Abu Yafur, meaning they addressed Urwa, do not say this. Has anyone besides you said this? Rather, we will send him back this year, and he will come next year. Then Urwa replied, you will have to face great difficulty. Thereafter, Urwa and his companions departed to Taif. Hazrat Muslim Awd, may Allah be his helper, has also narrated the events surrounding the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. While recounting these events, he states, when the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, set out to perform the tawaf, that is the circumambulation of the Kaaba, the disbelievers of Makkah, upon hearing of this, sent one of their chieftains to confront him. The chieftain was tasked with informing the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, not to come to perform the tawaf that year. This chief came to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and began speaking to him. During the conversation, he would touch the Holy Prophet's blessed beard. He was requesting the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, to defer the tawaf to another year. Hazrat Muslim Awd, may Allah be pleased with him, further states, this act of touching the Holy Prophet's beard was not out of disrespect. Rather, it was a cultural practice among the people of Asia. When they sought to plead with someone or secure their agreement, they would touch the other person's beard as a sign of entreaty, or alternatively touch their own beard to emphasize their sincerity, saying, I'm an elder and a leader of my people. Please heed my request. Thus, this leader touched the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon his beard, as a gesture to implore. Witnessing this, a companion stepped forward and struck the chieftain with the hilt of his sword and said, remove your impure hand. Recognizing the companion, the chieftain responded, are you not the one upon whom I conferred a favor on such and such occasion? Upon hearing this, the companion fell silent and retreated. However, the chieftain once again touched the Holy Prophet's beard in his plea. The companions later admitted that they were deeply angered by the leader's repeated act of touching the Holy Prophet's beard, but at that time they could not think of anyone among them who had not, at some point, received a favor from this chieftain. In other words, his generosity towards others had been extensive. They wished fervently that there had been someone among them upon whom this chieftain had no claim of kindness. At that moment, a man stepped forward, fully clad in armor and chainmail, and addressed the leader with great zeal, saying, remove your impure hand. This was Hazrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him. When the leader recognized him, he admitted, yes, I cannot say anything to you, because I have never done you any favor. Then Hulais bin Alqamah Kinani, chief of the Ahabish, said, as I mentioned before, the Ahabish were an allied tribe of the Quraysh who had made a pact at the foot of a mountain named Habashi. Hence they became known as the Ahabish. Allow me to go to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. The Quraysh permitted him to go. When he saw the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, from a distance, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, this person comes from a tribe which honors sacrificial animals. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, instructed the companions, go and bring your sacrificial animals before him so that he may see them. So they sent forth the animals. When he saw the animals at the edge of the valley with collars around their necks, the hair around their necks was falling off due to the collars being around their necks for so long. Those animals were constantly making noise. The companions welcomed him as they recited the talbiyah. They had been there for half a month. They had not applied any fragrance, meaning the companions had not applied any fragrance, and their hair was also unkempt. When he saw this, he said, "Holy is Allah. It would not be appropriate for these people to be stopped from proceeding to the house of Allah." His heart was immediately softened. He said, "Allah the Almighty has not permitted for the Lakhm, Juzam, Qinda, and Himyar tribes to perform the pilgrimage while the son of Abdul Muttalib is stopped from doing so. It is not appropriate for the Quraysh to stop them from going to the house of Allah. By the Lord of the Kaaba, the Quraysh can perish. There is no doubt that these people have come to perform the Umrah." He made this statement in support of the Muslims. Upon hearing this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, "By Allah, O brother of Banu Kinana, it is certainly so." This was the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him's response to him. He was so moved that he went to the Quraysh and said, "I have seen that which makes it improper to stop the Muslims. I have seen animals whose neck hairs have fallen off due to their collars, and those collars have been around their necks for quite a long time. People's hair has become unkempt, and this is all so that they may perform circuits around the house of Allah." He said to the disbelievers, "By Allah, we did not agree with you, nor did we make an oath that you would stop such people who uphold the sanctity and honor of this house of Allah and will do justice to it. Those who wish to take their sacrificial animals to their place of sacrifice, by He in whose hands is my life, clear their path towards the Kaaba. Otherwise, I will take my people and abandon you." He told them to allow the Muslims to perform Umrah. The Quraysh said, "O Hulais, remain quiet so that we may make them accept our desired stipulations." According to another narration, the Quraysh said, "Sit down. You are a villager and you know nothing. Whatever you have heard from Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and seen, is but deception and lies, God forbid." During this journey, there is also mention of Hazrat Ka'b bin Ujra being granted permission to shave his head. The details are as follows. Hazrat Ka'b bin Ujra relates, "We were in Hudaybiyah along with the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. We were in the state of Ihram while the idolaters had kept us in a state of besiegement. My hair was quite long and lice would fall on my face. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, walked past me and asked, 'Are the lice in your head causing you discomfort?' I responded in the affirmative. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, further stated, 'I did not think your condition would deteriorate to such an extent.' The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, then instructed me to shave my head, saying I could shave it first. Allah the Almighty revealed the following verse, 'And whoever among you is sick or has an ailment of the head, should make an expiation either by fasting or almsgiving or a sacrifice.'" In other words, one is permitted to shave the head under such circumstances of difficulty. There is also mention of Mikras bin Hafs being sent as an ambassador from the Quraysh. As mentioned earlier, various people took permission from the Quraysh and came as ambassadors to meet the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. One of them was also Mikras bin Hafs. He also asked the Quraysh for permission to go to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Upon seeing him coming, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated, "This was a deceitful man, and the Fajr, that is evil, is also mentioned in the narration." When he came to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, the Holy Prophet said the same thing he had said to Urwa and Budail. He then returned to his people and informed them of what the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had said. There is also mention of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, sending Hazrat Khirash bin Umayyah towards the Quraysh. In other words, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, also sent an ambassador. Muhammad bin Ishaq writes that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, sent Hazrat Khirash bin Umayyah and mounted him on his own camel. The name of the camel was Tha'alab. This was so that he could convey to the people of the Quraysh as to why they had come. However, Ikrimah bin Abi Jahl cut the legs of the camel. Ikrimah also intended to kill this representative of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, but the Habish stopped him from doing so, and so he let Hazrat Khirash go. He returned to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and informed him of everything that had happened. In any case, the Quraysh continued to thwart any efforts of peace. And the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, continued to overlook this. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, has written the details of this in one place as follows. The Quraysh of the Makkah did not suffice at this. Rather, in the blindness of their rage, they also intended that now, as the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and his companions were so close to Makkah, and so very far from Medina, an attack should be launched against him, so that he may be harmed as much as possible. For this purpose, they dispatched a party of about 40 to 50 men towards Hudaybiyah. And in the veil of negotiations, these people were instructed to circle the Muslim camp, and whenever possible, continue injuring the Muslims. As a matter of fact, from some narrations, it is even ascertained that these people were 80 in number, and on this occasion, they even conspired to assassinate the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. However, by the grace of Allah, the Muslims remained vigilant in their place. As such, the secret of this conspiracy of the Quraysh was discovered, and all of those concerned were arrested. The Muslims were very displeased at this action of the people of Makkah, which they committed in the Ashur-e-Hurum and in the sacred proximity of the Haram at that. But the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, forgave them and did not allow for it to become an obstacle in the negotiations. Then there is a famous incident when Hazrat Uthman, may Allah be pleased with him, was sent as an ambassador by the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Allama Bayhaqi relates from Urwa that thereafter the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, called for Hazrat Umar bin Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, in order to send him to the Quraysh. However, Hazrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, submitted, "O Messenger of Allah, the Quraysh are well aware of my enmity for them, and I fear they will take my life, and there is no one amongst the Banu Adi who will protect me." He further said, "However, O Messenger of Allah, if you wish, then I will go." Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, did not say anything to him. Hazrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, then submitted, "O Messenger of Allah, I shall inform you of such an individual who is held in higher regard than me in Makkah and belongs to a noble family who will be able to protect him. He will be able to convey your message. His name is Hazrat Uthman bin Affan." Hazrat Umar did not say this out of any fear. What it meant was that if he were to go, then they would kill him, and thus the purpose of conveying the message would not be fulfilled and would result in unrest. That is why he suggested that it would be better for him not to go and for Hazrat Uthman, may Allah be pleased with him, to go instead. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, called Hazrat Uthman and instructed him, "Go to the Quraysh and tell them that we have not come to fight. In fact, we have come to perform the Umrah." The details of this incident have been mentioned in the life and character of the Seal of Prophets by Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, as follows. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, instructed Hazrat Uthman, may Allah be pleased with him, to go to Makkah and inform the Quraysh of the peaceful designs of the Muslims and the intent to perform Umrah. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, also gave Hazrat Uthman a personal letter which was addressed to the chieftains of the Quraysh. In this letter, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had expounded the purpose of his journey and assured the Quraysh that their purpose was merely the observance of a worship and that they would peacefully perform the Umrah and return thereafter. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, also said to Hazrat Uthman, may Allah be pleased with him, that try to meet the weaker Muslims as well and lift their spirits and tell them to show a little more patience, for God is soon to open the door of success upon us. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had great conviction. Hazrat Uthman, may Allah be pleased with him, went to Mecca with this message, and after meeting Abu Sufyan, who was the chieftain of Mecca at that time, as well as a near relative, Hazrat Uthman, may Allah be pleased with him, was presented before a public gathering. In this meeting, Hazrat Uthman presented a letter sent by the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and this letter was also read individually by the chieftains of the Quraysh. However, despite this, all the people stubbornly clung to the view that either way, the Muslims could not enter Mecca that year. Upon the insistence of Hazrat Uthman, may Allah be pleased with him, they said, "If you are exceedingly desirous, then we can give you, I, Hazrat Uthman, special permission to circumambulate the Kaaba, but no more." Hazrat Uthman said, "How is this possible that the Messenger of Allah is stopped outside of Mecca and I circumambulate the Kaaba?" But the Quraysh did not accept anything and eventually disheartened. Hazrat Uthman, may Allah be pleased with him, prepared to return. Upon this instance, the wicked people of Mecca, perhaps with the thought that in this manner they should be able to secure more beneficial conditions for themselves in negotiations, detained Hazrat Uthman, may Allah be pleased with him, and his companions in Mecca. Upon this, rumour spread amongst the Muslims that the people of Mecca had martyred Hazrat Uthman, may Allah be pleased with him. When this news reached, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, took the oath called the Bay'at Ridwan. The details of this are as follows. When this news, i.e. the news of Hazrat Uthman's martyrdom, reached Hudaybiyah, the Muslims were infuriated because Hazrat Uthman, may Allah be pleased with him, was the son-in-law of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and was among the most venerable of companions. He had gone to Mecca as an Islamic ambassador. Furthermore, those days were also of the sacred months. And then Mecca itself was a sanctuary. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, immediately made an announcement and gathered his companions beneath an acacia tree. When the companions had assembled, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, mentioned this news and said, "If this news is true, then by God, we shall not move from this place until we seek revenge for Uthman." Then the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said to the companions, "Come and place your hand on my hand," which is the Islamic way of bay'at, "and take an oath that none of you shall show his back and will sacrifice his life if need be, but shall not retreat from this place." Upon this announcement, the companions lunged forward in such a manner as if toppling over one another. Every single person from among the 1,400 to 1,500 people who were the entire lot of the Muslims at the time, sold themselves once again in loyalty at the hand of their beloved master. When the bay'at was taking place, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, placed his left hand upon his right and said, "This is the hand of Uthman, for if he were here, he would not have been left behind in this holy covenant. But at this time, he is engaged in the work of Allah and his messenger." As such, this radiant scene came to its conclusion. In Islamic history, this bay'at is known as Bay'at Ridwan, i.e. the bay'at wherein the Muslims acquired the reward of Allah's complete pleasure. The Holy Quran has also especially mentioned this bird. It states, O Messenger, Allah the Exalted was well pleased with the Muslims when they were taking bay'at under the tree. For through this bay'at, the sincerity that was hidden in their hearts was brought to the discernible knowledge of God. So God revealed tranquility upon their hearts and rewarded them with a near victory at hand. The companions would also refer to this bay'at with great pride and love, and many of them would often tell those who came later that you consider the conquest of Makkah to be the victory, but we consider the bay'at Ridwan to be the actual victory. There is no doubt that along with its details, this bay'at was a magnificently great victory, not only because it opened the door to future victories, but also because the spirit of sacrifice in Islam, which was the central point of the religion of Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was manifested in a most magnificent manner. Furthermore, these devotees of Islam showed by their actions that they were prepared to bargain with life and death in every field for the sake of their messenger and the truth he had brought. This is why, whilst referring to the Bay'at Ridwan, the honorable companions would say, this Bay'at was an oath to death. In other words, it was a Bay'at of the oath that every Muslim would sacrifice his life for the sake of Islam and its glory, but would not retreat. Moreover, another salient feature of this Bay'at was that this oath and agreement was not merely a verbal declaration in a state of temporary emotion. Quite the contrary, it was the voice from the depths of hearts, behind which the full power of the Muslims was united upon a single focus. The news of Hazrat Uthman's martyrdom and the Bay'at Ridwan has been mentioned by Hazrat Muslim, may Allah be pleased with him, in one of his sermons or addresses. Upon hearing this news of Hazrat Uthman, may Allah be pleased with him, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, gathered the companions and stated, the life of an ambassador is protected in all people and nations. You have heard that Uthman has been killed by the Meccans. If this news proves to be true, then we shall forcefully enter Makkah. In other words, our initial intention was to enter Makkah in peace, but since the circumstances have changed, therefore we are no longer bound by this. Those of you who are ready for this should come forward and take the following pledge with me, that if we have to proceed ahead, then either we will return victorious, or then we shall all embrace martyrdom one by one in the battlefield. As soon as the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, made this announcement, the 1,500 pilgrims who came along with him turned into 1,500 warriors, and these devotees lunged forward in their efforts to excel one another in their efforts to place their hand upon the hand of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. In the history of Islam, this pledge holds great significance and is known as the Pledge of the Tree, because at the time of when the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, took this pledge, he was sitting under a tree. There are further details in relation to the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, which I will narrate in the future, inshallah. At this moment in time, I would also like to say that just as everyone is aware that conditions even in Europe are rapidly progressing towards war, there is an increasing threat of the Ukraine-Russia war spreading, and other European nations are being threatened. Many of those who possess wisdom and peace-seeking leaders are worried by this state of affairs. In any case, pray that Allah the Almighty protects Ahmadis and all those who seek peace against the ill effects of these wars. May these people not use such weapons in this war that will negatively impact future generations. Pray also for Muslim nations May Allah the Almighty grant them reason and understanding and enable them to recognize the truth. I would also like to draw attention to the fact that due to the manner in which the state of affairs has rapidly deteriorated and continues to deteriorate, although people are already aware, I would like to draw attention once again to the fact that everyone should strive to keep rations for 2 to 3 months in their homes. However, most importantly, everyone should strive to draw nearer to Allah the Almighty, to attain His pleasure, and to strengthen their relationship with Him. May Allah the Almighty enable us to do so.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله ان الله يامر بالعدل واللسان وايتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر